Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday School, October 9th, 2011.
Turn in your Bibles to the 33rd chapter, book of Isaiah. The last time we were in this book, we were reading in Isaiah's book of woes. He had pronounced a woe on Samaria, the capital of the kingdom of Israel, for their idolatry and wickedness. And he had also pronounced a woe on Jerusalem for following after their example. Then he pronounced a woe on people individual there for the willful, for the rebellious, for the faithless. And the three short chapters, 33 through 35, are headed up as a woe on Assyria. Now, Isaiah lived about 750 years before the birth of Jesus, and the great world power at that time was Assyria, whose capital was Nineveh. It was located in the northern part of what is today Iraq, in the Kurdish country. And Assyria had conquered all of the smaller countries around them, and they were bent on forming a great world empire, that is, of the known world of that day. And they had just about done it. They had conquered all of the countries around them. They had conquered the countries along the eastern Mediterranean and even Egypt. And now they were turning to Judah to conquer it. And their armies had overrun most of the country of Judah, and they were preparing for a siege of Jerusalem. And this chapter begins with a prophetic poetry describing the coming siege of Jerusalem. And as we, and when we come to chapter 36, we will read Isaiah's historical description of the siege of Jerusalem. But here he begins by pronouncing woe upon Assyria. And as we progress through this chapter, we see that Assyria is only a prototype in his prophecy, pronouncing a woe on all of the enemies of the Jews, leading down even to the last day, which has not yet come to pass. So, reading in the 33rd chapter, woe to you, destroyer, who yourself have not been destroyed, you traitor, whom none has betrayed. When you have ceased to destroy, you will be destroyed. When you have finished betraying, you will be betrayed. He pronounces this woe upon Assyria, who had boasted that they had never been conquered. They had never lost a battle. And that was true up until this point. And he pronounces woe upon them as betrayers, because they had made a treaty of peace with Judah, the king in Jerusalem, and they had faithlessly betrayed that treaty and were bringing their armies to besiege Jerusalem. And the prophet says, you too will be destroyed when you cease destroying. That is, when you finish God's work, he will see to it that you yourself are destroyed. And this is a prototype of all of the what has happened to all of the nations since that time who have bent themselves to destroy the Jews. And then he gives a prayer here for on behalf of Jerusalem. O Lord, be gracious to us. We wait. Be our arm every morning, our salvation in time of trouble. At the tumultuous noise, peoples flee. When you lift up yourself, nations are scattered. He is referring to God's defense of Israel in the past. And your spoil is gathered as a caterpillar gathers, as the locust leap, it is leaped upon, meaning that as the Assyrian army will be despoiled in this siege, and we will read about that historically, beginning in chapter 36. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness, and he will be the stability of your times. All the way through Isaiah, we see gems of thought that applied to Israel in that time and in their times of trouble, and yet we can take them as promises to ourselves personally too. He will be the stability of your times. They lived in a very unstable world in that day, and we live in a very unstable world today. Charles Krauthammer has a column in this morning's paper saying that the world as we have known it is coming unraveled, but he will be our stability in time of trouble. He will be the stability of your times, abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. The fear of the Lord is our treasure today, too. Behold, their heroes cry in the streets. The envoys of peace weep bitterly. He's speaking of the Jews who had tried diplomatically to head off this siege. The highways lie waste. The traveler ceases. Covenants are broken. Cities are despised or ruined. There is no regard for man. And this well describes the way the Assyrians waged war. The land mourns and languishes. Lebanon is confounded and withers away. The Assyrians were destroying the forests of the cedars of Lebanon, and they were using it to build up their own empire. And this was one of the reasons for the Babylonians to finally destroy the Assyria, because this was one of the great resources that time. There are only about a few dozen of those cedars of Lebanon left in Lebanon today, but it was a great resource then, sort of like petroleum would be today. Lebanon is confounded and withers away. Sharon is like a desert, that beautiful plain of Israel along the Mediterranean coast, is like a desert, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their leaves. Carmel is a mountain that juts up into the Mediterranean in northern Israel. It was where Elijah had built an altar to the Lord and challenged the prophets of Baal. You remember that story? That was on Mount Carmel. It's a very beautiful wooded mountain. And Bashan is in the northern part of what is today Jordan. It was an oak country, and it was a very desirable land. But here he says, Bashan and Carmel shake off their leaves. That is untimely. Now I will arise, says the Lord. Now I will lift up. Now I will be exalted. And we read in verse 3, at the tumultuous noise of peoples flee. When you lift up yourself, nations are scattered. So now he says, the Lord says, I will arise, says the Lord. I will lift up myself up. I will be exalted. You conceive chaff. Speaking of the Assyrians, you give birth to stubble. Your breath is a fire that will consume you. And this is what happened and we will read about it in chapter 35. And the peoples will be as if burned to lime, like thorns cut down that are burned in the fire. They crackle, they flame up, they are hot fire for a bit, and then they die down and it's gone. Like thorns cut down that are burned in the fire, that's what the Assyrian army will be like. Hear, you who are far off, what I have done, and you who are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling has seized the godless, but we'll see in chapter 35 how that the godly put their confidence in God and were saved. Who among you us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who among us can dwell with the everlasting burnings? That is when God takes vengeance. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, who despises the gain of oppressions, shakes off his hands lest they hold a bribe, shaking his hand like this to show he has not taken a bribe, who stops his ears from hearing bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking on evil. That's who will dwell in the midst of the everlasting burnings and will come through because his confidence is in God. He will dwell on the heights. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. His bread will be given him. His water will be... He was promising here that he would protect those who put their trust in him through this time of siege. Your eyes will behold the king in his beauty. They will see the land that stretches afar. He's speaking to the far distance now, seeing what will happen in the distant years. Your heart will muse on the terror. Where is he who counted? Where is he who weighed the tribute? That is, their conquerors. Where is he who counted the towers, their military strategists? You will see no more the insolent people, the Sumerians, the Assyrians. And this is a warning to all peoples at all time who would fight against the Jews. The people of an obscure speech, the Jews did not understand the Assyrian language, that you cannot comprehend, stammerings in a tongue that you cannot understand. Behold, Zion, the city of our appointed feast. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, speaking of the Jews, an untroubled habitation, an immovable tent. Here, rather than a solid building, he likens Jerusalem to a movable tent that will never be moved. Stakes will never be plucked up, nor will any of its cords be broken, speaking of this fierce security. But there the Lord in majesty will be for us, a place of broad rivers and streams where no galley oars can go, speaking that the waters will be plentiful, but they'll be shallow where their warships cannot go, nor majestic ship pass. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Your cords hang loose, he's speaking to the those warships that were along the coast. They cannot hold the mast firm in its place or keep the sail spread out. Then prey and spoil in abundance will be divided. Even the lame will take the prey. We'll read how that literally happened. And no inhabitant will say, I am sick. The people who dwell there will be forgiven their iniquity. Speaking of that siege of Jerusalem as being the prototype to events in the future as well. And then in chapter 34, he poetically describes the day of the Lord. Draw near, O nations, to hear, and give attention, O peoples. Let the earth hear, and all that fills it, the world and all that comes from it. For the Lord is enraged against all the nations, and furious against all their hosts. This is in the day of the Lord. He has devoured them to destruction, has given them over to slaughter. Their slain shall be cast out. The stench of their corpses shall rise. The mountains shall flow with their blood, and all the hosts of heaven shall rot away, that is, their idols and their astrologers. And the skies roll up like a scroll. All their hosts shall fall, as leaves fall from the vine, like leaves falling from the fig tree. For my sword has drunk its fill in the heavens. Behold, it descends for judgment upon Edom. Here, Edom is the prototype of all the enemies of Israel, and especially of in that day of the Lord, because Edom was the implacable enemy and neighbor to Judah. Upon the people I have devoted to destruction. The Lord has a sword. It is sated with blood. It is gorged with fat, with the blood of lambs and goats. Here he's speaking about a sacrifice of the Lord in Edom, speaking of the destruction of that and all of the people against Judah. And with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of kidneys of rams, for the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah. Bozrah was one of the capital cities of Edom. A great slaughter in the land of Edom. This happened during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and he's speaking here of that day of the Lord when all of the surrounding neighbors will be slaughtered in that battle, and it should speak woe unto the nations surrounding it, Judah, or surrounding the Israel today. Wild oxen shall fall with them. The wild oxen was the strongest animal known to that time. It no longer exists today. It's extinct, but it was the aurochs, the huge ox of the desert. The wild oxen shall fall with them, and the young steers with the mighty bulls. He is personifying the peoples in terms of the animals of the desert of that day. Their land shall drink its fill of blood, and their soil shall be gorged with fat. For the Lord has a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. And the streams of Edom shall be turned into pitch, and her soil into sulfur. And the valley of the rivers in Iraq today are sitting on not just oil, but on this pitch, which we call asphalt. That's what we pave our streets with. And Edom is on the edge of that in its land, just in the north part of Arabia and the southern part of Jordan. Her land shall become burning pitch. Night and day it shall not be quenched. Its smoke shall go up forever. The way Kuwait was during the Gulf War, when all of the oil wells were set on fire, is a picture of what the land will be in the day of the Lord, when he takes vengeance on the nations for Judah, for Israel. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. But the hawk and the porcupine shall possess it. These were all animals that dwelt in the desert place where it was unpeopled. The owl and the raven shall dwell in it. He shall stretch the line of confusion over it, and the plumb line of emptiness. Its nobles, there is no one there to call it a kingdom, and all its princes shall be nothing. Thorns shall grow over its strongholds, nettles and thistles in its fortresses. It shall be the haunt of jackals, and an abode for ostriches, and wild animals shall meet with hyenas, and the wild goat shall cry to his fellow. There are no ostriches in that land today. There once were, but now they're all confined to Africa. But the wild goat is one of the symbols of Israel to this day, and some of the Arab lands, such as Oman, have taken it as a symbol. It's down to just a few thousand today, and they are trying to bring it back, but it is one of the most beautiful animals in that part of the country. The wild goat shall cry to his fellow. Indeed, there the night bird settles and finds herself a resting place, describing the desolation of those places where the peoples are against is the owl nests and lays and hatches and gathers her young in her shadow. These were all very secluded creatures. And indeed, the hawks are gathered, each one with her mate. Seek and read in the book of the Lord. This is an unusual phrase. The book of the Lord in Isaiah's day, 750 years before Jesus was born, when the only book that they had was the book of the law. But here it stands for all of the revelation of God. Seek and read from the book of the Lord. That is, learn what is his will. Learn what he will do. None, not one of these shall be missing. None shall be without her mate. That is, these animals. For the mouth of the Lord hath commanded, and his spirit hath gathered them. He has cast the lot for them. His hand hath apportioned it out to them with the line. They shall possess it forever from generation to generation. They shall dwell in it. And in a sense, this happened at that time, at the time of the Babylonians. And that land of Edom, that used to be a pasture land, that used to be a pasture for large flocks of sheep and even of cattle, it has been for centuries a sere and burning desert. And this is God's pledge that he will defend Israel. When you look over the years, it doesn't seem like God has defended Israel, driven them from one nation to another, persecuted every place they went, without a land to call their own until our own time. But the fact that they still exist shows that God has cared and defended them. And then in the 35th chapter here, we have the blessings that will follow that great day of the Lord, which we call the millennium, after the Lord sets things right and reigns supreme. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. The King James says the rose, but the rose is not native to that country. The crocus is a lowly plant, and it's a brilliant red, and in the springtime when it is in bloom, whole fields look red with its color. And this is thought to be also what is referred to as the lily of the valley in the Song of Solomon. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The glory of Lebanon that was so ravaged in chapter 33. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The mighty of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and recompense of God. He will come and save you. These first lines, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees, are quoted in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews and the 12th verse. Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that that which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Here, Hebrews is making this personal, what the prophet is saying to the nation that will happen in that day. Say to those of an anxious heart, be strong and fear not. And here is another one of the promises, Israel, that we can take to us, because these words are echoed by our Lord himself in John, where he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. This is the voice of faith in the midst of a world that is coming unraveled. It is the confidence of faith in a time of turmoil and desperation. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy. This is a general statement of that time. These things will occur then. But our Lord, when he was on earth, gave evidence that he is the one who could do that, because he did not heal every blind man, but he did open the eyes of the blind. He did not cure every deaf mute in Israel at that time, but he did heal those who were deaf. And he did heal the lame, and even the apostles in the Acts healed that lame man who we read went running and leaping into the temple. Then shall the lame man leap like the deer. He was giving Israel foretastes of the kingdom of God, but they rejected it in the New Testament. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Mrs. Kalman has written two books, two volumes of comfort and thoughts on the scripture, using this as a title for her. But this will happen in that day. Where there is no water, there will be streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. Here, this way is a prophecy of that time when all of the Jews shall return to their land. And Today there are only a small portion of the Jews that are in Israel, but the way shall be clearer for them than to go back, and it shall draw them, and it shall be a highway of holiness, meaning that they will then be in communion with the Lord. The time of Zechariah will have come when he wrote, "A fountain shall be opened in the house of David for cleansing from sin. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. Their way will not be hindered. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. With everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." What a beautiful phrase describing that day, when sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is a poetic description of the siege of Jerusalem at that time, but then going on to the day of the Lord, when he will wreak vengeance on the nations for Israel's sake, and then in the day of the Lord, what a lovely time that will be. And we'll take up chapter 36 next week, where we will read the rest of the story. And this is the poetic description. We will read the historic record of that siege of Jerusalem next week.